Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we are studying what I've called a theology of persecution. That might be dignifying it with a bigger word than perhaps the short passage in Peter of just two verses deserves. But nevertheless, I don't think it's terribly overstated, because we learn what we need to know about persecution in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And so far we have learned that normally Christians are not going to be persecuted. But we have also learned that there are exceptions to that, and we should be ready for that. So, in the normal course of life, if Christians are behaving properly, are behaving like Christians, and that means behaving like Christians according to the biblical definition of that term, not according to what sometimes Christians think is proper Christian behavior. But if Christians are behaving the way that the Bible teaches Christians to behave, most of the time they're not going to be persecuted. But there will be times when persecution will come, because of the nature of the fact that the world is hostile to Christ, and they certainly persecuted him, and it was not for anything that he did that was wrong. And he told us that they'll do the same to his followers, so it will come. It's just not constant in most cases. There will be particular periods in history and places in the world where it will be constant, but for most Christians, certainly those in that Peter was writing to, according to 1 Peter 3:13, that kind of persecution is not going to be constant for most of God's children, but it will come, so be ready for it when it does come. Now, it occurred to me that maybe I should just give a simple definition of what I'm talking about when I say persecution, so I'll do that in just a moment, right after I welcome you to this Tuesday, January 14, Beacon Broadcast, and give my grateful thanks to those radio listeners whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Now, what am I talking about when I talk about persecution? And I'm talking about the infliction of harm because we are Christians. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the kinds of slights and injuries that people inflict upon one another in this world just simply because we're all fallen human beings. And unsaved people are on the short end of all kinds of injustices. And it would be possible, it would be easy, I suppose, to attach the label of persecution to many things that are not. That's why I warned you a couple of broadcasts ago about Christians who have a persecution complex and interpret everything as being persecution. No, I'm talking about the infliction of injury that is brought because we're Christians, not simply because we live in a world of fallen sons and daughters of Adam, and people are constantly sinning against one another, and most of the time that has nothing to do with the fact that the person that they are sinning against is a Christian. It just has to do with the fact that they are a sinner. So people are always doing other people wrong. And unconverted people experience a great deal of that as well. And so we can't interpret every wrong, every slight, every injustice as persecution. I'm being persecuted for Christ's sake. No, you've just become the object of somebody's sinful wrongdoing. And it has nothing to do with the fact that you're a Christian. It just has to do with the fact that you were there, that you were a living human being in that place at that time, and that person was acting like the sinner that they are. And so you just happened to be the one that got injured on that occasion. But there are other injuries which are deliberately inflicted because we are Christians. And that's what I mean when I say persecution. And that's what Peter's talking about when he says in 1 Peter 3:14, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake," it will happen. There will be times when you will suffer for righteousness' sake and not for any other reason. And what should we know when that happens? Well, he tells us, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed." You are blessed. You are privileged. Blessed means to have the blessing of God upon you. That's what it means. We use the word rather freely sometimes so that we forget the great import of it. I like it when I go through a checkout line at a Walmart and the cashier says to me, "Have a blessed day." I am delighted to hear that kind of language. It makes me think that the person who spoke it to me very well may be a Christian. Probably are. And I'm delighted to hear that kind of language. But when we throw it around that glibly, sometimes it becomes nothing more than "have a nice day." Some people say "have a nice day," some people say "have a blessed day," and we lose the impact of what that means. But to be blessed means to be divinely blessed, to be the privileged participants of divine favor. For God to bless us means that God intentionally bestows favor upon us, and that's what we are told here. "Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed." You are blessed. Isn't that what Jesus said? "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." You see, that's the definition of persecution. It is undeserved, and it is precisely because we are Christians. That's what it is. And when that comes our way, we need to realize that's a mark of privilege. You are blessed. That's what Peter says, and he's saying exactly what his Lord and Master Jesus Christ said. He may be reflecting upon the very words he heard when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, when he passes this on to us. For him, it's just a reminder. He knows that this is exactly what Christ himself taught in what we call the Beatitudes. "Blessed are you," said Jesus. "Blessed are those," is what he said first. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then he makes it more personal. "Blessed are you, my followers, my disciples, when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you." It's a privilege. It's a badge of honor. It is an evidence that you are a Christian, a child of God, that they are persecuting you for righteousness' sake and for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ, whose name you bear. It is a guarantee of reward in heaven. We don't always know when we are earning rewards in heaven, but we can be sure of this. When we are suffering for righteousness' sake, we are earning rewards in heaven. Like Joseph of old, who said to his brothers, "You did this to me for evil, but God meant it for good." And when people persecute us for righteousness' sake, they don't mean good. They mean evil. But what are they doing? They are guaranteeing privilege and blessing and reward to come to us from Almighty God. There's nothing they could do to us that would be a greater favor. We don't look at it that way, do we, usually? How dare they do that? How? Oh, what terrible injustice I have suffered, and so forth, and that's all very true. But keep your attitude right. We're trying to learn how to maintain a God-honoring attitude towards persecution. And we've got to realize that when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, we are blessed particularly. That act of persecution is responded to by a divine act of blessing. This isn't just a general thing that Christians have. Well, they have the blessing of God upon their whole life, and there's a sense in which the Christian is always blessed, of course. But this is talking about a specific act of intentional and extra blessing. Those Christians who are persecuted are going to receive extra blessings that those who are not persecuted will not receive. So when you think of it that way, you can say, thank you for persecuting me. You have just done me the greatest favor that you could do me. Isn't that right? That's what it says. I think if we understood this correctly, we would realize that when we are persecuted, we are blessed, and when other Christians are persecuted and we are not, they are to be envied. Though, of course, we're not really supposed to envy, but you understand what I'm talking about. We don't usually think of it that way. We think of it the other way around. Wow, I'm glad I escaped that. Don't know why that happened to them. They must have done something wrong. The way they're getting persecuted there, they must not be living right. They must have secret sin in their life. Oh, how judgmental and critical we are. And so oftentimes, it's because we don't really know the Word of God. We, like Christ said to the people in his day, you've erred because you don't know the law and the prophets. And many times that's what we do. We make judgments that are based upon wrong theology, based upon carnal thinking, based upon human logic, and contrary to what we're taught in the Word of God. What do you mean that must be an indication that they have done something wrong? Actually, it's an indication of God's special favor and blessing upon them, and they are going to receive blessing that we aren't unless we are similarly persecuted. So yes, even though persecution is not the normal lot of the course of our lives 24/7, it is something that comes to us from time to time under exceptional conditions. It is a real possibility. We ought to expect it. We ought to be ready for it. It's kind of like the second coming of Christ. We should always be ready. We all should always have an attitude of expectation. And that's the way it is with persecution. We should always be ready and have an attitude of expectation. Now, millions of Christians have expected the second coming of Christ and died without that being fulfilled. But it was certainly a possibility in their lives, and it was the right thing to do, to be expecting it. And I think it's the same thing with persecution. We should expect it. And it may come. Be ready. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.